from one of my favorites. Y'all know what I say on that, but I'm going to leave that alone. One of our favorites, the prophet Ezekiel.
Yep.
Ezekiel is an intense book to read. He is known as a post-exilic prophet. In other words, he prophesied after the exile. And the exile had to do with Israel being taken into captivity for a period of time. And so to help us get a good read and understanding on this in one read, we have switched over, as you may see on your handout, to the NASB translation. The KJV is still a good translation, but NASB will give you a little bit better understanding in one read.
Amen.
And it has been recognized by many preachers, pastors, teachers as the best word-for-word translation. Mm-hmm. Just good information. Amen. So we're going to read from Ezekiel 14 a few verses, and then also New Testament from the NASB as well. Romans 12, and we're going to start at verse 9. So read with me, Ezekiel 14 and 1. Then some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling blocks of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, Any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. In order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me, but through all their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your face away from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel or the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign of the proverb, and I will cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. Amen. Provocative words from the prophet Ezekiel. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant. And now for the New Testament, we're going to look in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, 9 to 18. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Amen. Selected verses in the conclusion of Romans chapter number 12. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. We like to grab a subject for our message today. True love enables true righteousness. Amen. True love enables true righteousness. Amen. Very profound topic here today. We've been talking about love and the importance of love in this entire year. And I'm amazed how quick looks like the year is going by.
Amen.
I don't know if that blows your mind or not, but we're on the neck of August here.
Amen.
And it's amazing. Looked like the year just started. Last week seemed like to me almost a month ago. But like, we're nearly 8 months into the year.
Amen.
We'll be putting up Christmas trees and shopping and all that any day now. It's amazing. The people out in the world have started doing a Christmas Black Friday in July. And they're trying to press the issue because, of course, it's financial to them.
Exactly.
But the fact is, true love, as we have been talking about, and we're talking about that love that overlooks sin, which is the kind of love that God has for us, he basically establishes that so that he can let you know that he has never changed.
That's right.
The love of God has been the same.
Amen.
Every second that every one of us have been in the world, the love of God has been the same ever since he created the creation.
Amen.
And we can say that. These are the kind of facts you have to lean to when it comes to understanding the word of God. You have to understand, when man changed, God never did. See, because God never changes at any time.
Now,
theologians call that the doctrine of immutability. In other words, God doesn't change. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. It's something way too deep for us to really understand. But a couple of reasons is God is perfect. What is there to change? If you're perfect and you're almighty, you're omnipotent, you have all power, you know everything, what is there to change? The fact is, there's nothing. There doesn't need to be any change on his part. You know, the one that needs to change is the ones who did change originally. God gave dominion to Adam and Eve. We mentioned this last week. And what happened? They turned it over to the devil. In so many words, they turned it over to the devil. And basically, because of that, we changed.
Yeah.
Humanity changed in the sight of a holy God.
Yeah.
But the things we have to rely on is get back to what God says. This is another thing that does not change. God's word, therefore, does not change. It's the inalterable, unchanging word of God. We have a few songs we sing along those lines. We say, hold on to God's unchanging hand. See, because he's the one going to guide us out of darkness and bring us into his marvelous light. See, and so you can count on that. These are the things you can count on. So with that being the case, since God does not change, he loved man was his motivation behind what he did when he created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, and gave man dominion over him. That's proof that I love you. I love you. I waited, made everything so you couldn't take credit for anything. Then when I got through, I said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and I gave you dominion over everything I made. That hasn't even changed. Man has abused the dominion.
Yes.
We have done some of everything to butcher what God gave us. And we continue today to think that it's all about us and not about him, many of us. Not so much the church, but people in the world. See, continue to disregard that God is the one who gave everything.
Amen.
But see, God tolerated that from the beginning. In the very beginning, when Adam and Eve had sinned, we know what happened. They ran out of the presence of the Lord and tried to cover themselves. That's the reaction that we call the fall. When man fell, oh, I don't want to associate with God anymore because he's holy and I'm not. See, and so they went to cover themselves. Before, they were covered in his righteousness. He was ever close with them. They were walking with God in the cool of the day, the Bible said. Once the sin happened, ran out, start to cover themselves.
Yeah.
And ever since then, man has been trying to cover himself. God did not change. He still loved them, and he tells the whole story in his word. So his love is true. It's perfect. It has never changed. But man has been given free will to do whatsoever he will. We see it right away. First two sons, Cain and Abel. You see, one of them chose to do the right thing and acknowledge God. The other one chose not. See, and he destroyed the one who believed God. See, and God permitted that. You know why? Because he's not taking back the fact that I gave you dominion. So what you do is on you, but I'm going to judge you when it's all done. So, but God's true love is what enables true righteousness. The people who latch on to who God is and why he is the way he is are the ones who can live the best, considering the circumstances that came up on man when man departed from God.
Amen.
Keep in mind, we all have a tendency because of our fallen nature to depart from the living God.
Yeah.
So you have to know that. See, but we live in a culture that thinks that they're all into themselves and what they're doing, and it's pride, as the Bible says, which goes before the fall. See, pride will bring you down every time. See, but God always wants to pick you up. He always wants to exalt you. He always wants to forgive you. He wants to restore the lost relationship, because he never changed. And he wants you to love him back like he loves you. And so it's true love, which doesn't account itself for anything. We can look at that whole definition in 1 Corinthians 13, where God gives a complete description of some things that love does and love does not do. Read that on the side. But what happens by the time we get here to this situation that we're looking at in front of us from the prophet Ezekiel is a very important thing. Now, we have to realize this. I'm going to bring you there in just a minute, and we'll try to get in your hearing and get out in a smooth transition here today. One very important thing, often overlooked in the modern church, I'm talking about us today, us is here today, y'all don't mind if I use some bad English, is the emphasis that the scripture places on the relationship between God and believers, whom he has called in the Old Testament, Israel, for example, he calls his wife. Think about that for a minute. In the New Testament, he calls the church the bride of Christ. There's an intimacy that God desires to have with his people.
Yes.
He called Israel his wife. He said he was her husband. Think about that. We understand that. Some of us have not been married, some have. And sometimes marriage is not all that it's cracked up to be, because we have so much difficulty, because we don't really have that practice of true love. And we've been deceived, and different kinds of things have happened that cause us to feel that marriage is sometimes is very difficult. But we can see that even started at the beginning. The devil didn't want the first marriage to be right. And so he came in and busted it up, and I always call that the oldest trick in the book. Why do we keep falling for the oldest trick in the book? You know, that's the oldest trick in the book, literally. Because he came slinking in a serpent to destroy and distort a marriage. And not only that, but also that relationship between God and man. So we have to remember, that's what's broken. And marriage is a very difficult circumstance, but God still honors it. And it's still a great thing, in spite of what man says. People want to say anything can be married to anything or anyone in our time. And the modern church wants to talk about smooth stuff. We don't want to talk about the stuff we really need to get into.
Amen.
To get people's conscience right.
Amen.
So they can learn to live right.
Amen.
And to illustrate and walk in this true love, which will enable them to produce in their lives true righteousness.
Amen.
Now, looking at that relationship, we see it so many times. The church is the bride of Christ, so that we as human beings can easily understand the kind of closeness God desires to have with everyone who believes in him. Read when you get a chance. I'll put a few scriptures on your handout. Isaiah 54, 1-17. Read that. Psalms 2, God talks about his son, who is the redeemer. So a son is the product of a marriage. His son is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God married himself to Israel in order to produce a son when the fullness of time was come, whose name is Jesus.
Amen.
Read it in Psalm 2. He has already declared that he will be the king, because he's the prince right now, the prince of peace, the Bible says.
Amen.
See, and you look on Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, speaking of Israel and God. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. See that? And so God introduced it. How would this happen? First of all, Israel couldn't exist if it had not been for God.
Amen.
He went to Abraham, who was without child, and at the age of 75, right? An impossible situation. Sarah was past the time of childbearing, the Bible says. And he produced a seed in Abraham that he would pass on through 42 generations and give birth to a son at the end of the process. See, so in that sense, God was married to Israel. He was going to produce a son, the King of Righteousness. Mm-hmm. He would be the Prince of Peace. First he came as the Prince. And you know how you get to be a king, right? The Prince becomes the king when the king succeeds the throne to his son. Mm-hmm. That's where there are what we call dynasties in the world. They pass down from generation to generation. So God passed his son, the seed that he gave Abraham, through 42 generations that culminated in the birth of Christ as the result of his marriage with the Holy Spirit through Mary, the Virgin, to produce a son in order to redeem the world from the curse of sin. Now, if you want to talk about a love story, boy, this is a good love story. He did all of this and put up with all the foolishness that man went through. Israel was the focal point of his relationship with mankind, and all the Gentiles were kind of peripheral to what was going on with the intimacy that he continued to try to cultivate with his people Israel, the seed of Jacob. See, and we say Jacob, that takes us three generations from Abraham. See, Abraham, the childless one, through Isaac, through Jacob, to 12 tribes who God dealt with, and the Bible is kind of centered around those 12 tribes until the birth of Christ. But his outreach was always to all of mankind. See, at all times, God has never shunned any believing Gentile. Look in the Bible, just read it. I'm amazed to look at all the times that God saved anybody who came along. Amen. And you'll find out that as long as you believe in him, he would save you even if you weren't a part of the covenant people.
Amen.
It's recorded in the word. It's an eye-opener for people if you just get there and start to see that. Dude, that's why he always talks about not only you, Israel, but whoever sojourns among you who believes. He included them in the worship. He included them in the closeness that he wanted to have with his own people. And so here it is now, after the northern kingdom's been taken out in captivity by Syria many years before this happened, at the time when we get to this text in Ezekiel. The southern kingdom has also defaulted, been taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And then after that time, when Israel was out here still struggling, and it's always about relationship, some of these people here in Ezekiel 14, we cut to the chase. There's a lot of history I just kind of packed away in a few words. But here it says here, then some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. See, think about who are the elders. We have elders in this room. An elder doesn't necessarily mean you're old. It means that's, but you have been walking with God for some time. You see, you have been called by his name. That was the thing that made Israel special, the fact that they were called by his name. Remember, he said this through one writer. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, God says it has to do with my people being tight with me. If my people who are called by my name, see, why? Because he married to them. Would humble themselves. That means we get proud and act like we don't need him. Humble themselves and pray. We get prayerless. We think we're running on our bank account. Or we think we're running on our own strength. Or we think we don't need God. Or we think God doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So we believe a liar who says God don't want to have nothing to do with you. You're going through trouble because he don't want to have anything to do with you. That's the liar.
Yes, it is.
He keeps sticking his ugly head in your business between you and God. Ain't no need you praying. God ain't thinking about you. And we believe him. How do we do it? And God said, if my people who are called by my name. And what if you're a Christian? Whose name are you called by? The name of Christ? If my people who are called by my name, Christians, would humble themselves and pray.
Hallelujah.
See, you know what? We get prayerless. We just take it up on ourselves, or we can make it. We don't have to ask God to have anything to do with it. If you would humble yourselves and pray. Seek my face. Not my hand. We want God's hand. We don't want his face.
We want his face.
Dude, give me your hand, Lord. I need your hand to put some dollars over here. Or take care of this or that. How about his face? See, if we seek his face, we're going to see a difference. Because his love has never changed. If there's any distance between me and God, it's not his fault.
That's right.
You can't blame God. People always do. How many folk, you know, blame God for everything they're going through? Oh, the Lord is against me. The Lord is against you? The one who loves you? The one who lets you take your next breath? The one that's beating your heart every day? He against you? The one who provided you with everything and activity of your limbs, who loves you intimately, knew you before he formed you in the womb, I knew you, and ordained you. That one, he's against you? I wonder how people get there. And they get there because God will allow you to go through some changes. Changes are not bad for you. You know why? Because God doesn't change.
That's right.
And if you are his, you don't need to worry about changes.
Amen.
You don't need to worry about lies. You don't need to worry about anything the devil says, because God's love is true. And he is the one who will enable you to produce in your life true righteousness. No one else can. No one else will. So we see here, these elders came and they approached the prophet to inquire of God. Notice this, who were harboring idols in their own sin within their hearts. See that? Which God saw right through and instructed the prophet that he himself would deal with them with judgment, because they had made evil desire of their own mind into an idol. And separation from God, which would provoke judgment from God unless they would repent. Isn't it interesting all the times God talks to people and says, repent? He didn't say, I'm against you and I'm going to strike you down. He said, turn around. Stop that.
Yes.
And it's sometimes very, very difficult for us. And when we don't do it, sometimes we get stagnated with wherever we are.
Amen.
See, and we get stuck on a thing, and then we still call on God. But God says, you know what? I want that closeness. And if I am holy, the Lord said, what? Be ye holy. Even as I am holy.
Yes.
So if we want to practice unholiness and unrighteousness, then get in his face. He said, no. Your sins can separate you from God, but God still loves you.
Right.
And it's up to you to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't changed. Who needs to change? Me. See what I'm saying? I'm the one who needs to change, not him. He ain't doing nothing wrong. He never could. He can't. You know, it's impossible for God to do anything wrong.
Amen.
It's impossible for him to lie.
Yeah.
It's impossible for so many things for God to do. He cannot default his own word.
No way. Mm-hmm.
You know, the heavens and earth can pass away, Jesus said, before one jot or tittle should in any wise fail from God's word. You know what? God didn't have to give us his word, but he did. You know why I did? Because I love you. And if you read my word, it'll be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'll show you what to do and how to go and how to get there. And I'll be with you in trouble, he said, right? We read that a few lessons back. So Ezekiel was encountered these people here. Later on in chapter 14, I recommend you read that whole thing. He said, even if Noah and Job and Daniel came and asked for these people, I wouldn't even spare them. Those are people who we consider to be the most righteous folks in the Bible, right? Noah was spared from out of the whole world of people in the book of Genesis.
Yes.
Job went through all that trouble, devil beating up on him all the way through his whole life. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, and he hung on to his faith till God blessed him again in the latter years of his life, more than he had in the first. Daniel went through and was in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, all the trouble he went through. And these men had proven righteousness that they will stand for God no matter what circumstances they're in. And Ezekiel says, even God says through Ezekiel, even though these three would pray for some of these folks here, they've gotten so far away from me, I would not do anything but spare them, not even their children or anybody else. Read that 14th chapter. It's very deep. And I was going to try to do something else. God wouldn't let me. I said, boy, this is heavy here this morning, Lord. You really want that one? And I grappled with it for a while, and the Lord settled in my spirit, Ezekiel 14. So I couldn't move away from it. I just wanted to let y'all know how I got here. So realize he still loves you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're dealing with. But Jesus said to us that we're called the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. We are the bride.
Yes.
Matthew 25, he gives a parable about 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
He said they were 5 wise and 5 foolish.
Mm-hmm.
The wise eyes made preparation for the coming of the Lord. Because in those days when you were betrothed, the bridegroom would go away and you don't know when he's coming. So you need to be ready all the time. He could come at any moment. That's what he said when he left. Remember that? He told his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," that's what the bridegroom would do. He'd go out and prepare a place for the bride. Mm-hmm. And when he got it ready, he might ride in at any time, soon as it's done. Because he's anxious to get back to his bride. Mm-hmm. "I'm coming to receive you unto myself. Mm-hmm. That where I am, there you may be also." And so the five wives stayed ready. They kept their lamps ready.
Yep.
They kept them trimmed in the wicks already, so that when the cry came at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh."
All right.
He said they could go in, light their lamps, and go out to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
The five foolish, when the cry came, said, "Oh, we have no oil in our lamps.
Mm-hmm.
Let us get some of your oil." They said, "Oh no, we don't have enough for you, sister. This is for me and my bridegroom. I'm ready."
Yeah.
And so as soon as they went out to go get oil for yourself. See, he came in, and then the bridegroom came, and that was it. And the door was shut.
Right.
Then they come knocking, "Let us in." He said, "Nope, I don't even know where you came from." So we need to be ready, be prepared. We are a separated people.
Amen.
God will help you. You won't be able to do it by yourself, church.
Right.
We won't be able to do it. But with his power, we can do all things. And so Paul gives instruction. This is how we get here. Paul gives these instructions, and I had to come to this conclusion. Read the whole chapter there when you get a chance. See, this lesson here is something you're going to have to study through the week here. Romans 12, the first few verses are really, really awesome. But Paul says here, giving instruction to the Romans after quite a bit of doctrine. He says here, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Love needs to be real. He's talking about not only vertical to God, but horizontal to one another. Hypocrisy, that means you're playing around and you're really not serious. Abhor what is evil, that means hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In other words, my spirit will give you the ability to discern good and evil. And you need to shun one and embrace the other.
Amen.
See that? Be devoted to one another. Don't think you're in this by yourself. You didn't get here by accident. God put you where he wants you.
Yes.
And he's here with you, here with a group of people who are just like you in some ways.
Amen.
We're all here by grace. Nobody's here because they're so holy.
Amen.
We're here by grace.
Amen.
See, we all have a ways to go to get right.
That's right.
The good news, God doesn't put you out.
That's right.
He keeps on working with you.
Because
he loves you. He knows that true love will enable true righteousness.
Yeah.
See, if we want to really be righteous, stick with God.
Yeah.
Determine in your heart. Right now, I know most of you have already, that I love God because he put up with all my foolishness.
Yeah.
And he accepts me just like I am.
Yeah.
He planned to give his son even before I was born.
Yeah.
Even before he made the world, we looked at last week.
Yeah.
See, so Peter said last week, just to take you back 1 week, he said, gird up your mind. Get your mind prepared for spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Why do you have to go to boot camp when you go to the military? Why? You got to get your mind prepared for warfare.
Right.
You can't just go in here like you've been off the street willy-nilly.
Right.
Every day you got to come in and be ready.
Right.
You got to get your muscles together and build up some strength.
Yes.
Because you're not going to make it if I just put you out there on the battlefield.
That's right.
And you don't have yourself made ready.
Right.
Prepare yourself for war in the time of peace. And so that's why we have to prepare ourselves. How do we do that? Study the word. Pray. Seek his face. Pray for one another. We can't do it alone. You know what? An army or a navy is not one person. It's not just a commander. It's not just a private. It's everybody in between the commander and the private. And everyone is important. The whole troops. Every troop is important. So he says we have to think of it that way. Be not lagging behind in diligence. It's easy to get complacent because so many things seem to be, where we can just add, it's not that important. And that's the work of the enemy and the fallen nature working against you. Be fervent in spirit. That means I'm on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
Serving the Lord. Involve yourself in his activity. Rejoicing in hope. Preserving in tribulation. Even though you are going to go through trouble, that's a promise. But preserve. Hold on. Don't let the trouble knock you off your pins. Notice, devoted to prayer. We got to pray our way through. Don't think you can do it by yourself.
Amen.
Get on your knees. You know what? Some knee mail is going to get you further than some email. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Be involved in the church. Get yourself in the center of the activity that God is doing. Bless those who persecute you. Not everybody's going to be your friend. Somebody's going to misunderstand you. But bless them. Don't you get hung up. Realize God still loves me and I can go through anyway. So you bless them that persecute you. And notice this, bless and curse not. Sometimes we'll bless you in the presence, and we turn around and you start, in your mind you might go there. But he said, learn to do it from the heart. Learn to do it from the heart. Bless and curse not. That's been a hard verse for me all my life. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. There's going to be some weeping, and there's going to be some rejoicing. But they say if you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy, the Bible says. See? So keep on sowing both ways. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Don't get lifted up if God is using you to do a thing. But associate with the lowly, people who don't quite get it, don't quite understand. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't make your standard the standard. Let God's standard be the standard. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Somebody do you wrong, don't be thinking of a way I can do you worse. That's the way we think, naturally. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes people make it impossible for you to really be at peace. See, but he says then that's when you got to really go back to some of those previous ones. Pray. If I get where I feel like that and I know I'm ready to go there, y'all know where there is. Oh, I'm about to go there. You know, when you get like that, you got to go back to the knees again. Get back on your knees one more time. And say, God, bring me through. Deliver me. You know, but that's the kind of relationship we have with him.
Yes, we do.
That's why he said, if we get her true love, will produce true righteousness. See, every accomplishment that you and I have made spiritually came because God's love motivated.
Amen.
Even if I didn't fully understand it. When you got saved, it's because God knew you and he gave the Spirit to convict you that I gave my son for you. There's no other hope for you. Without him, you can't do anything. And one day you said, I came and gave my hand to the preacher. Because I trust God that he gave his son. I'm not sitting over here thinking, hey, when I get these three things here straightened out, then I'm going to join the church. They ain't going to get straight, let me tell you now. And when you get through, there's going to be three more that you don't even know about. They haven't all even come yet. See, but keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. He said every trial, every difficulty, every disappointment, every mode of grief, whatever you're dealing with, I got you covered. See, you know, and think about this. That's why he raised Jesus out the grave. You don't even have to worry about the grave.
That's right.
You know what? The grave for somebody else bothers us. Oh, my mother, my brother, my son, my father, whoever it is. And we get broken up. And we hold bitterness in our grief sometimes. Let it go.
Yes.
Let it go. God loves you.
Yeah.
Hopefully your people are saved. I don't know if they're not.
Yeah.
Even if they're not, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we thought somebody was saved, but you don't know. Don't count on it. God might have saved them. You may not know. I think we're going to be surprised today. I think you're going to see some folk you never thought would have made it. And you're going to see some others who you thought was going to make it. They're in the wrong place. See, so we don't really know. But check yourself. That's what I'm saying to you today. Check yourself and trust him through it all. Because whatever it was, he got it covered. And no matter what happened, if it happened already, it's done.
It's done.
See, can't back up the train. Some folks talking about purgatory. Don't believe it. That's a lie straight from hell.
Model.
I don't mind saying it because that's the fact.
Yes.
And if it's true, show it to me in the Bible.
Amen.
Show me in the Word where it's true.
Amen.
You won't find it. Just like I tell people on some other subjects, if you show it to me in the Word, I'll eat the baby. I have no idea how the Bible tastes other than in my mind. In my mind, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I taste it of the Lord. But as far as the physical page, no. See, stand on the Word. And if you're here today and you're not saved, realize this, God loves you. Just like you are. He can do anything but fail. Cannot fail. You know what else? Titus chapter 1, I think it's verse 1 and 2 says, God who cannot lie. He cannot lie. The reason is he is so powerful, anything he says, no matter what you think, if he say the sky is green, boom, the sky gonna go green. That's just how that is, because he God. You know, whatever he says is gonna come to pass. He cannot lie. He says zebras are all black, boom, all the stripes will be gone. I guarantee you, whatever he say is true. See, whatever he says, so he cannot lie. He created everything by the speaking of his word. Let there be, and there was. See what I'm saying? Same thing with your salvation. Before the foundation of the world, I chose you. You didn't choose me, John. Jesus told his disciples, John 15:16, but I chose you, and I ordained you. See, y'all think you chose me, but no. You know, most of the time you can see it's obvious. In Luke 5, the Lord came to Peter, showed him a miracle that I'm God because you thought you could fish, and I showed you, even though I'm a carpenter, I fish better than you. All the fish came in. Peter was cleaning his nets. When he saw that, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He knew who he was. He also understood who he was. See, he knew that I'm not right, but you are. I ain't never seen nothing like this. See, God will do that for you. But he loves you just like you are. So we implore you today, trust him. If you're here today and you have never committed yourself to Christ, this is a good day to be saved. Right now is a good day. It's a good time. This is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
So we pray that you have trusted in him. Amen. Continue to pray for those who do go through these things. Everything you do, church, and I'm going to say this as I take my seat. Everything you do, commit yourself to prayer. It's easy not to pray. That's easy. We have a book that I think was written. It's called Too Busy Not to Pray. You're too busy not to pray. It means you need to pray. And I'm convicted myself. I feel like I don't pray enough. I've started to try to, which I've been doing this for years. But Paul says, pray without ceasing. So that means, when is there a time ever that you should not be praying? And the answer is, there is no time. You got to learn how to pray on your feet. Pray on the road. As you go, keep on praying. See, devoted to prayer, that's what that text says there in Romans. Get where you're starting to pray. If you do, then those things that are from the true love of God will produce true righteousness in you and me. Gotta do it. Amen. So we offer Christ to you right now. Amen. If you're here today, amen. If you need a church home and you're here today, I don't think we have anybody that suits any of those particular categories today. Amen. So we hope you did get a good word from the message.